With all my heart, I believe that when you came to Jesus, you were given an assignment that I'm going to just call it a sent assignment to be his witness. Not saying that you needed to get on a plane and go somewhere for the rest of your life, but I'm not saying that not that either. Okay. Is there some of you in this place and some of you watching and listening that you've had a call on your life all your life and you've run from it? And songs like this frighten you. Songs like this terrify you. Not me. And I'll just kind of back off when we sing something like this. A call on your life to serve him all your life. And it may not be, I'm not talking about just some kind of paid vocation. I'm talking about the conviction that God has called me to serve him the rest of our lives. That's what we sang of today. And maybe you were hesitant. And maybe you were a little unfamiliar with the words, and you were kind of glad that I was a little unfamiliar with that. But I'm just going to tell you, we sang scripture today. We sang testimony today. If you're new to us and you're watching or you're here today, we are in a series called The Word of Our Testimony. A word of our testimony. The scripture says that the people of God overcome the enemy because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. The word of what who God is in their lives and what God does and what God continues to do and promised us to do. And he says we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony. And third, we love him because we don't love our lives even unto death. Today, I want to welcome Huans to you. Said that right? Yeah, Thompson and Jen. Jen's got a part of her story that has a little bit like this. While she was sitting in Santiago, Chile. I was going to say Peru. And I want y'all to come on up right now. We want to interview you, okay? Thank you, brother. So to give you a little bit of a background, a couple of years ago, we were invited to Cambodia and to meet a team that is a ministry that's called Cambodia Village Outreach. And a few of you went on a couple of those trips to get to know Thompson and Jen and the ministry that they have going on in a place called Siem Reap. Yeah. And so I want to just introduce you to them. We felt like we believe that we've been invited to this as a church. Everyone that has ever gone on a trip there senses that. And so this morning, I want to just hear a little bit, especially from Jen. Last time y'all were here, we heard from Thompson and his conversion experience. A refugee during the Khmer Rouge communist takeover and places that you've heard of, the killing fields, this is what they came out of. And that was the last time. And I want to talk a little bit with Jen and just hear her story a little bit. And so, Jen, tell us a little bit where you grew up and just your journey, how you came to Christ, and then what were some of the first inklings of a call to missions?
So I originally grew up in North Carolina, between Greensboro and Raleigh, and I grew up in a great Christian family. Both of my parents, all of my family are believers. And so at the age of 7, so I grew up learning Bible stories and hearing the truth. I went to a Christian school and everything. And so at the age of 7, my dad, I remember he took me into his room, which was kind of a special thing. We weren't allowed in my parents' room. And so he took me into his room. And I thought I was in trouble at first, but he sat me down and he really just very clearly explained the gospel to me. And I knew the gospel, and really he just asked me to take that step of faith and to accept Christ as my Savior. And I did that day. I accepted Christ. It's been whatever 43 minus 7 is now. So however many years ago that was, I accepted Christ and then was baptized not much longer after that, a couple months after that. And then I grew up also in a going to GAs, which is Girls in Action, which is missions focused. Our church is actually, the church I grew up in was very much like this church, very missions focused, missions driven. We had missionaries that came in. And I grew up in GAs and learning about missionaries. And I got to go to a camp called Camp Mundo Vista, where I actually worked at several years later. And it was a missions camp. And I remember being in one of the missionary rooms listening to a missionary. Her and her daughter were there. Her husband had passed away. And she had gone to India. And I remember watching this video on this little rinky-dink TV and looking at that saying, one day I want to go to India. And that was really my first burden to do anything in missions, just being in fourth grade.
Awesome. So, as you grew up and as you went in through high school and into college, you had some opportunities to go on mission trip, right?
Yeah, so I went to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, and I had remembered that, I wanted to go to India, and I had said, I'm going to go one day, and I had heard that they were going to India. They were taking a missions team over Christmas to India, and so I thought, I'm just going to go to this meeting, just see, you know, how it is and see what they're going to do. And then they told me the price, and I was like, I can't go. That it's too expensive. I'll never raise that money. Well, money came pouring in, and so I took my first trip to India. And I remember, I was about 21 years old, 20 to 21 years old at this time, and I remember very distinctly knowing that I had to go back. That was not going to be it. And so I ended up going on a couple more mission trips. And I guess it was probably on my fourth missions trip. We were in Santiago, Chile. I loved it there. I'll share something a little bit later. But I loved being there. I loved just seeing the people. And it was Spanish, so I didn't think it was going to be that hard to learn a language. And it was at the end of our trip. And we were on the second floor of a Chinese restaurant, because you know they have Chinese restaurants everywhere in the world. Second floor of a Chinese restaurant. And my heart was just pounding out of my chest. I was like, I'm going to have a stroke, because God was calling me. And he was saying, you're going to go and you're going to do this full time. And I was saying, Lord, I will go on any missions trip anywhere in the world, short term, I will go. And God said, no, that's not what I'm asking you to do. And it was very clear that God was calling me into full-time missions. And so to myself, I said, okay, Lord, I'll go into full-time missions. And God said, now you need to tell people. I mean, you've already asked me enough, God. You've already asked me to commit to this. And so I actually told the team that we were, just the small team that we were there with, that I knew that God was calling me into missions and that I was going to go into full-time missions one day. Did not know where it was going to be. I actually thought it was going to be Santiago, Chile, or India. Wasn't either. That day I really just committed my life and knew that I was going to go into missions work sometime in the future.
And so tell us how you landed in Cambodia.
Fast forward probably, I don't know, 2-3 years, I wanted to go, you know, I said I was going to go into missions, and back then it was the early 2000s, and everyone was going to China to teach English. That was what everybody did, and so I was going to do that too. And so I was going to go through the IMB, the International Mission Board, and they had a big financial crunch, and so I wasn't able to go through them. So long story short, the youth pastor that I was doing some kind of secretarial work and administrative discipleship with some girls with, him and his wife were going to go overseas to China also, and they had heard about Cambodia, and they said, hey, I think we're going to go to Cambodia. And I was like, kind of disappointed actually, because they're supposed to go with me to China. We're all going to go together. And so they ended up calling me a few days later and said, hey, you want to go to Cambodia? And I was like, sure, where's that? Because I said to go anywhere, right? And so I hadn't even never even heard of Cambodia, never heard of the war. It worked out good because I got a husband there, so that was really good. So I don't have anything like some amazing story. Like, I knew God was calling me to Cambodia. I just was, you know, willing to go wherever God called me to go, and it worked out.
Right. And so Dobson, like you just said, you found a husband.
Not right away.
No, well, I know, but... And so, Dobson, you talked about just having come to Christ, your family came to Christ as refugees, is that right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And what year was that? How old were you?
I'm not sure how, probably about 6 or 7 years old. That was in the refugee camp. And my mom was the one who accepted Christ first. Somebody went to her and tell her about Jesus, sharing the whole gospel of Jesus, you know? And then my mom's like, that's it. And she already accepted Christ. And the guy said, I'll give you some time to think about it. And if, when you're ready to accept Christ, then I'll come back and I'll lead you to Christ. And she waiting and waiting and waiting. And he didn't show up. And one time he showed up again one day. And then she's like, where you been? I've been waiting for you this whole time. I thought you'd come back tomorrow or something like that. And he said, well, I'm sorry, sorry, busy. And so she's like, I'm ready to accept Christ. Well, what do you do? Do I have to, you know, burn the offering or burn the incense or set up an altar or something like that? He said, I don't know. Just pray. You pray to Jesus and repeat after me. And then he led her to Christ. And then my dad would believe in Jesus after about 3 months after that, because he's someone who he had to read. He had to understand who is this God and what is so amazing about him. And so everybody said, you know, in Cambodia, they say God, Jesus is a foreign God. That's what my dad thought. So he read the Bible and he found the truth. We read from the beginning, in the beginning God created the earth and the heaven, and nobody tell him that. He's like, he learned he was a monk before, and he learned that the earth was formed somehow, some ways, by the word of God. But who God is that? No, he didn't know that. And he read the Bible. He's like, oh, that God, Jesus. So he accepted Christ after that.
It's awesome. And so you grew up then going to church, right?
That's
and
right.
Found, yep. Y'all found your way back to Cambodia. And then y'all met, in what year did y'all meet?
So, well, that's debated.
Okay.
So he saw me in a coffee shop. I was like the foreigner walking around, not a coffee shop, an internet cafe. That's before, like, we all had internet. And we originally actually met, we ended up working in the same ministry back in 2004.
We had no idea.
We didn't know each other at all.
Just coincidentally. Yeah. God's plan, as we say it.
Yeah, it was God's plan for sure. So we actually met in 2004. A really long story, take 4 years, put it in 15 seconds. We became friends in 2005. We became really good friends in 2006. We became really good friends in 2007. In 2008, we actually decided to get married. So that was our story.
Awesome.
Yeah, my parents didn't take that too well.
So tell us how Cambodia Village Outreach started.
So after we had to come back to the United States to get married, and we were here for a couple of years to do citizenship and get all that done and taken care of. But even coming back to the United States originally to get married, we knew we wanted to go back to Cambodia. That was always the plan, to go back to Cambodia. And so once all of that was done, we began the process of raising funds and all that kind of stuff to go back to Cambodia. And we knew we wanted to go to Siem Reap because we wanted to go where people had never heard the gospel before. Like, if you go to Phnom Penh's like missionary central, and there were not a lot of missionaries in Siem Reap at all. And the missionaries that are there are in the city. A lot of them stay in the city. They don't go out into the villages. And so when we literally flew to Cambodia, and then we went to we drove a rinkety old car up to Siem Reap, and we did not know where we were going to start ministry at, so we were looking for a house to live in, and we were looking specifically for an area that the children were impoverished. We wanted to be among the people where we were going to be working at, and so we found a house. There was a little girl, Gigi. She wanted to come up and touch the white person, and so that was kind of how things started. We just began playing with them, and we wanted to just kind of develop this little small ministry, and that was where Cambodia Village Outreach started.
Go on.
So it's also because of my hometown.
Okay.
Siem Reap is my hometown, and one of the villages that we are ministering to is my hometown. So that's one of the reasons we also want to go back there, because I want to tell my people about Jesus and the God that my father from that same area, same house, same land, found is Jesus. And so we want to tell them about that God. And yeah. So that's what we decided to do. And we always been called to do mission work no matter where we at. And we always want to go back, and if God allow.
Awesome. So kind of, I guess, flash forward to meeting Craig and Cottonwood folks. At this particular time, what are y'all doing in ministry? So, like, I know, like, right now, You have medical outreach. You have children's ministries. You do farming. We've talked about here where we've Kids Across Cultures has bought a farm, and they're in the middle of dry season right now. So soon you'll be planting, and then child sponsorship for school, and then you have water, a water ministry for. I know that when we were there, having the water filters that I know that many of you are familiar with, that has given us a great access to proclaim the gospel through that. And then I think the sixth thing you do is discipleship. So tell us what's going on right now.
So during all of this COVID, in some ways this has been a huge blessing. People are really looking for the truth, and so we've had our staff has had some really good opportunities to share the gospel. People are looking for hope. They're scared, and so it has definitely given them opportunities to really share clearly the truth of Jesus. And so discipleship is really our main thing that's happening at this moment. Right now, Cambodia is on a lockdown. They've been on lockdown for about a month now. So they're being very creative, doing Bible studies and discipleship over Facebook, over phone calls and things like that. So that's our main thing that we're doing. And then the field, the land, I am not the agricultural person, just to let you know, but the land is being prepared. It's been tilled and the fence is being put up and the wells have been dug and there's a shed that's been there. So soon, like you mentioned, the farm will start. A pond has been dug, or partially dug, and so that will be an opportunity for education and discipleship, and then sharing, doing the Farming God's Way project, and then trying to think of what else you had mentioned. Outside of that, we have, so right now they're not able to do children's programs, but normally we have children's programs in seven different villages where they're learning Bible stories, and definitely some of them are coming to faith and they believe. We've had even had kids in the past that have defended us in our beliefs, what they are also believing. So it's been really neat to see how they are really coming to faith and they're getting stronger in their faith, and they're growing up not following Buddha but following Jesus. And as they get older, we know that these are going to be the ones that are sharing their faith. With discipleship, it's been really neat. There's going to be a picture that's going to pop up in just a second. Actually, I'll let Domson share with you about that picture. That's just a really neat thing that happened through Cottonwood also.
Oh, so, yeah. So, 2019, November 2019, John Ann and me and Craig and Rick Robertson took a trip to our work in China with amongst the Hani, and then also to this, for us, fledgling work that we were starting to commit ourselves to Cambodia. And so, which just was an absolute, total, wonderful 3 days. I mean, it was just, I wish we could have stayed 10 days, and even more. And that's pretty, coming out of my mouth, 10 days anywhere is like, I'm ready to get home, right? But we were in that, we got to see the water presentation, or the water...
Water filtration system.
Yeah, that's what they call them. We'd gone to this village, and we get to this pavilion, and we walk in, and it's a Buddhist temple. We've got a pink Buddha in the corner. The village leader chooses, at least at this one, chose, was it 25 in this or 30 families to receive a water filter, and they place these water filters, on the ground, and a member of that family sits behind that water filter, and someone comes from the team and shares the gospel of Jesus. And I'm not talking about a four spiritual laws thing. I'm talking about an introduction to Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And it's a 20-minute, 25-minute, 30-minute presentation of introducing Jesus that the first time that these families, and there's another 50, 60 people in the background listening and hearing the gospel. And when she got finished, the applause just erupted of just this, I guess, this thankfulness of just hearing this message for the first time. And then someone follows behind and teaches them how to put the water filter together and how to take care of it and use it. And so at that place, we met a couple of sisters. And Craig was just prompted. There's something in mission work called a person of peace. You remember it when Jesus was sending the 70, and he said, when you find a person of peace, let your peace rest upon this. It's usually a person of influence. It's usually a person that is so receptive to the gospel. And he just felt like that these were people of peace. And so we went into their home, and we're in one of the homes here. And here are three of the sisters. I think two of them went. Tell us what's happened since then.
And so since then, we've been back to that house. So I just want to let really important information real quick is that these people heard the gospel for the very first time when they received that water filter. Most of them heard the gospel for the very first time. So we went back to that house, set up the water filter, and y'all left and gone us, left us forever. And
Now.
You know, leave that to us. And we went back, and with T and Mom and Janda and our team, when I was there, we went back there and just spent time, just get to know them, and they get to know us, and pray for them, pray for their children who got sick, and share about the power of Jesus, the power of God, and the power of Jesus that can save them from the sin, from this the evil spirit, from all this pain and all this suffering, you know, that sin caused in this earth, and just really share a lot more with them. And so when the COVID lockdown, it's kind of good because they got to stay home more. And so one time, with T and Mom went back. That was like a year process of really reaching to them. Sit down with them, get to really ask them questions and really ask them if they really want to serve Christ. And they say, yes, we want to serve Christ. And that moment, the husband also with her, the husband got to say, yes, amen, we want to serve Christ. And they pray and they serve Christ that time. So it's a year later. During the COVID lockdown, they accepted Christ.
Amen.
Because they heard the gospel for the very first time.
Awesome. So, you want to say?
I'm saying the story doesn't stop there. It actually continues on. If y'all all got a newsletter, and there's a little thing in there called "and the rest of the story," like Paul Harvey used to say, "and the rest of the story." So the rest of the story, it actually doesn't end there. It's continued on because of those original salvations that happened when y'all had that prompting. There have been more salvations that have happened through that. And the one who accepted Christ that y'all were talking about, she is now like a little evangel. I say little evangel. She's a big evangelist, and she's sharing the gospel. She is now going and sharing her faith with other villagers. And that's actually caused some persecution. But that makes them stronger in their faith. And so, because, you know, when there's persecution, people come out and they accept Christ. And so people are accepting Christ in that village. And it all started with a prompting. And not just a prompting, but a following of what God said to do. God said to go do this, and that was followed. And salvations are coming out of that. So, and the other thing, too, is that it's not just like what we've done. It's all these little pieces that fit into place for the salvation of these people that you see in this picture.
That's awesome. One of the things that we talked about last night with leadership and elders, and just through the whole process over the last several months of talking about our church involvement, one of the things that we did 21 years ago was officially, as a church family, adopt the unreached people group called the Hani of Southwest China. We've sent over 600 people on short-term and long-term trips to this people. And we've seen thousands, like you heard last week from Craig, just thousands of folks who who have come to Christ, where the church is thriving and is strong. And now we believe that as we continue our work amongst the Hani, that God is inviting us to have the same kind of relationship with Cambodia and the Cambodia Village Outreach with you guys. And so I'm just so grateful for knowing you and looking forward to the days and the years ahead of ministry together. I'm really grateful for your humility to meet Craig and to say, Craig, y'all come over and help us. Come over and help us, like a Macedonia call. Come over and help us. And now you're seeing some things take place that have helped raise support through Kids Across Cultures. For you who have children who have come home from the square and have talked about raising money for water filters, we've seen nearly 10,000 water filters placed in 10,000 homes in China and Cambodia, and 10,000 families who've heard the gospel for the first time. This is the work that we talk about when we talk about serving Him as a church family, at home, at the ends of the earth, and any other place in between that God sends us to. And we're just really grateful today that that we formally come to address that. And so, do you have any last words for us?
Yeah, I do. Just one final thing is that we do want you to come. Like, we really want you to come. And earlier I said there's one more thing I wanted to share with you, and y'all are not going to believe me when I say this, but I'm actually not an adventurous person. I don't like to travel. I don't like to fly. I'm a homebody. And so if I can do this, you can do this. And I know you're like, oh, but you're the missionary. No, seriously. Like, I ask anybody. I don't like to travel. And so if I really know that if I can do this, you can do this. And we do want you to come and be part of what's happening. It's exciting what's happening. Like, we get, you know, being on this side, it's hard right now not being able to go and be there with them and be part of everything that's happening. And so, you know, we didn't mention this today, but, you know, because of COVID, everyone is having to stay home, and so more opportunities have happened. And there were about 15 people who accepted Christ in the months of November and December. And that's just not heard of. You know, that's God working. And so we do want to invite you to come and be part of this. You can do it. You can go. I promise it's not scary. And you can do it.
And I think one of the phenomenal things is in China, it's really hard with their communist regime right now. Lots of persecution. The communist government of Cambodia actually loves the church. And addresses the church and says, we're so grateful for you that you love our people, you take care of our people, you help our people, and you're people of great integrity. And I think that's just another piece of just the invitation that I think God has for us. We're so glad that you are here today. I'm glad to hear your story today. Would you give a clap offering for them? And Craig, would you come on up and talk to us for a minute?
So, finally get to, well, I guess they've been here before, but for some of you, this is the first time you get to meet Jen and Domson and Bo Hao. Really grateful that a couple years ago, God just put us together. And I want you to know that what Mike spoke about, this idea of adoption, isn't something we just decided over the last few months or anything. Really, it's been over two years in the making. They've met with some of our missions committee folks. We've spoke about this and prayed through this with elders, and I prayed about this and talked to many of you about this. And so over the last couple of years, we've come to this point. And Mike mentioned 21 years ago, we committed to adopt the Hani people. And that is a part of me being here today, that I made a commitment, and we as a church made a commitment to a people and to what God's doing among that people. And it's really changed my life in a lot of ways over these years to know more about who God is and why we go on these mission trips, why we want to make a commitment. And I would say to you this morning, as your missions pastor, we want to be committed to Jen and Domson, and we want to be committed to their team because they're wonderful folks. And we want to be committed to seeing the Khmer people, hearing the gospel, having opportunity to respond to the gospel. But I think the most important thing that I would share with you this morning is this is an invitation from our great God to be a part of what he's doing, not what we're doing, not what Jen and Domson are doing necessarily, but what he's doing in this country. God has invited us to see him at work among the Khmer people. And I know as a Christ follower, I know as your missions pastor, I know as your friend, that we as a church want to say yes to that. That we want to say yes to whatever God's called us to. And so I'm really excited. I'm excited. I think that I'm going to be taking many of you or being along with many of you as we go and serve with them on the field. We'll be praying together. We'll be doing a lot of the same things we've done over the years with the Hani as far as seeing Khmer people come to faith in Christ. One of the commitments that we make, you should have gotten one of these when you came in this morning. One of the commitments that we make, Cottonwood gives a lot of finances to different mission organizations, different people that are on mission, both locally and abroad. But this is something that's a little different. When we make an adoption, when we make this kind of commitment to a team and to a people, we're committed both sending, going, providing for people to go, but also to help support financially. And Jen and Domson wouldn't mention this, so I'm going to mention it for them. So a lot of times missionaries that are raising their own support, they come and they raise what they can, and that supports both their ministry and their livelihood. And for a long time, I'm not sure exactly how long, but a good while, as Jen and Domson came back, they didn't even take support for themselves. All the money that they raised went to provide for their team and their ministry. And as we entered into a relationship with them through Kids Across Cultures, we were able to get Domson back on a salary. It's not a huge salary, but it meets their needs. Pretty close. Not enough, because Jen's having to work two jobs to make up the difference. And we all know that, you know, that's a part of life. But we need Jen to be full-time a part of this ministry and a part of working with her husband. And in order for that to happen, we need to raise another $500 a month for them to be able to do that. We've raised a good bit of money for their support, for their team support, but we lack right now $500 a month commitment. And so on the back of this newsletter, there's a commitment card. If 50 people in this room today would say, hey, I can do $10 a month, we'd be there. If 10 people in this room would say, hey, I can do $50 a month, we'd be there. I think my math is good. So I just would ask you to prayerfully consider taking that card, filling it out. You can put it in the offering plate. You can bring it to Mary Lee or send it into Mary Lee. You can put it in one of the boxes. Pray about what God would have you do to support not just Jen and Domson, but this is a part of supporting Kids Across Cultures. They're a part of our organization. It's a part of supporting the ministry in Cambodia, the whole team. For that to happen, the things they talked about to happen, we need to support them. I'm so grateful for a church that is so giving, and I just believe that today we're gonna make that happen. So if you would just prayerfully consider that, if you need to take it home and pray about what God would have you do, please do that. But just know that that's a part of our adoption process, is just making sure that they have what they need to be able to do the work of the ministry. So
what I'd like to do now, what we'd like to do now, is to have you guys come on up. And I failed to introduce Bohau, who they adopted a few years ago, right? Come on up and be praying. They've been, yeah, come right here. They've been coming. Part of having to be back in the States a lot is that you say it.
So we adopted Bohau about a little over 3 years ago, and when we adopted him, we did not know that he had a very severe, rare form of epilepsy. And so this time last year, he was having 2 to 3 seizures a week. He was not functioning. He wasn't able to speak. He wasn't able to dress himself. He was a mess. And so finally, after 7 months of having severe seizures, they stopped. We were able to find medicine. So that was actually the reason we came back last January, was because he actually had a seizure on our way to fly out. So we knew he was having seizures then. So that was our original reason for coming back, and then we've been stuck since then. But Yeah, so Bo Howard, just be praying for him. And he's actually doing really well right now. We're so grateful. We've gone 10 months without a seizure. With one seizure, only one seizure. So we are so grateful for how well he's doing right now. Awesome. We're just praying that God will continue.
And you're in the process of adopting a 9-year-old from China,
yep.
right? Like
yep.
Just like this.
So he's 9. I know he doesn't. Yes, China. Chinese boy, that's right. You're the Chinese boy. So we're adopting a little Chinese girl who is also 9. We are probably 3 to 4 months away from being finished, but China is still closed. They are not allowing any adoptions to be finalized. So we don't know when we're going to get to go. We hope that in the next 3 to 4 months that they will allow us to go over. There are over 400 families waiting also to go.
Awesome.
So yeah, we're
Great.
Very excited.
Great. So right now we're going to do just a prayer of commitment to this adoption process and hope that it just resonates with your heart today. I know that one of the things that I would say is in this service right now, if you're watching or listening or in here and God is prompting you, please don't let that prompting go without talking with somebody today. Maybe talking with them, coming to get to know them, to be able to speak into their lives, to be able to begin praying as a part, as a church family that has our face toward the ends of the earth. So what I'd like to do is if you feel led to come on up and to surround them and to lay a hand on them, and Rick Robertson's going to come and pray a prayer of reception and commitment and to Cambodia and to the Khmer people and to this team. So come on up and surround them and Elders, would you come on up too? Yeah.
Awesome. Let's pray together. We on? Hello?
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, bless you, Lord. Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning with at least I, for one, Lord, have such a sense of excitement, Lord, in anticipation over what lies ahead. Lord, what you're calling us to. And Lord, it's, I guess, my prayer first of all that today would be more than just a formality, but Lord, that your Holy Spirit would deeply imprint on each of our hearts the nation of Cambodia, Lord, and more specifically, Lord, the people of Siem Reap, in the villages surrounding it, and Lord, Cambodia Village Outreach. Lord, that you would make a connection in each of our hearts that only you can make. Lord, a connection that even pictures cannot accomplish, stories can accomplish, Lord, but Lord, through your working of all of these things, that you do a work of your Spirit in us, Lord, and through us, Father, for the days ahead. And I know, Lord, it's easy to say the fields are ripe, but I have just such a sense, Lord, that is so true for this moment. And, Lord, that you, according to your word, would send out laborers into your harvest. Lord, I'm praying that even over us as a fellowship of believers, God, that you would raise up a new generation, if you will, of workers for this work. Lord, that you would do so, Father, in a way that would not compromise what we've already committed to, but Lord, that you would in a way, Lord, give us an enlarged capacity to love. Lord, an enlarged capacity to reach out and extend ourselves beyond our own understanding, beyond our own resources. Lord, and that we would look to you to open up the windows of heaven. Lord, pour them out upon us that we might release those into the work of your kingdom. And Lord, I pray over John, Lord, and the farming work, Lord, all of the outreaches that are going on, Father, I just sense harvest, God, and I'm asking you to plant, Lord, to water, to till the soil, to do all of those things, Lord, that causes a great, great harvest. And so, Lord, we just want to make that commitment to you today. Lord, we say, Father, that we look at ourselves and we say, I can't. But, Lord, we choose today to boast in our weakness. Lord, we choose today to call upon you and ask you to do great and mighty things through us, Lord. And we know, Lord, that there's been much done prior to this time. And so I pray over all the seeds, Lord, that have been planted and all the labor and toil that has gone in so far. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, to touch it and bless it in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, that ultimately your name, Lord, would be glorified in all of the earth. Lord, that your name would be glorified in the people of Cambodia. We pray, Lord, for a great, great light to shine in a dark, dark place. And we bless you and we honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Clap offering to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Awesome. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you want to go with me? I want to share with you a passage of scripture from today's notes, just in the last few minutes of this service together. It's Isaiah chapter 61. It is the call of Isaiah, but it is also a prophetic word of the call of Jesus. On one occasion in his life, he comes to the synagogue, and he proclaims this passage of Scripture. And I think when you look at all of Scripture and who he is and who we are in Christ, you look at the testimony of Isaiah, you look at the testimony of Jesus, and you look at the testimony of the church. It's my conviction, it's my belief, that when Jesus called you and you were born again, you entered into the family business. Amen. You entered as a son and a daughter of God into the family kingdom business. This is not just about getting your ticket punched and going to heaven one day and not having any kind of purposes to fulfill in this life in the kingdom of God. And when you look at this passage of scripture is not about foreign missions or home missions or anything else. It's just about the service of God that God comes to call you to, just as you are, just as we are. In all of our frailties and all of our doubts and all of our non-adventurous attitudes or feelings, God has called us into his service. And one of the platforms of the church is we send missionaries. And we send people who are called. And part of mission trips are just to go and to experience and to see and to support and to ask the question, is this what you would have me do? But it's also to come and support those on the field, to bring favor, to bring blessing, to bring life to them and to the people we minister to. And I love this passage of scripture because I relate to it. And I think the church should relate to it. I want to just say this. This passage of scripture has the ability and the power, if you would embrace it, to come off the page and enter into your heart and change you forever. Right now, right here. That's how much I believe in the sufficiency of Scripture and what the Word does. Notice, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, to give the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I hope that if you have your written word, not your computer word, that you can somehow mark this up today, to date it, to say, God, is this really about you calling me? And please hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying necessarily call to Cambodia or to India or to Santiago or to anywhere else in the world, but I'm telling you a call to wherever you are and to wherever you go to be his servant in the field. But maybe, just maybe, God has placed upon your heart years ago that you're supposed to somehow be somewhere else geographically other than here, serving our God. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me. We see some of this in the scripture. We see this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus says to wait in Jerusalem from on high when I empower you with the helper, the helpmate that's coming. And he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that the Spirit of God would come. And you'll become his witness. And you'll become his witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 speaks of, as you go, make disciples. As you go, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. You will receive power. You will receive this authority, this anointing of the Spirit of God to proclaim whatever you need to proclaim. And just to hear me right now, it's not just about everybody's going to have a platform like this and proclaim to thousands of people. And some of you go, whew, I'm glad that's settled. But maybe. But to proclaim the message of the gospel, the good news. And that's what he says this is. It's good news. And it's good news to the afflicted. You can also take that verse and it means, that word means poor or afflicted, or that person with lack. And I'm going to tell you, the gospel always targets something, and it always targets your lack of spirituality, your lack of relationship with God, without Christ. This is what the gospel does. It's the good news, and it's good news to the afflicted, to the meek, to the poor in spirit, those that don't have any purpose in life, those that are walking in darkness. He sends me to bind up the brokenhearted. It's where we target the wound. People broken. People broken. Listen to me. There's some of you here and some of you watching that are still broken. You're brokenhearted over your childhood, at what something that happened at 8, 9, or 10. The good news targets the wounded. He bears the grief. He bears the sorrow. This is the proclamation by which we speak to people that Jesus comes to save you and to heal you of your broken heart. Matter of fact, not just to heal the broken heart, but to transform the heart so that your heart now rejoices and is no longer sad. Because Jesus and his message, that's what he comes to do. And to think that God would send his Spirit on us to save us, to be born again, but also to anoint us to proclaim this word to a lost and dying neighbor, let alone a world. A lost and dying relative, a lost and dying dad, mom, a lost and dying without Christ, brother or sister, co-worker, who God has anointed me and anointed you to proclaim this good news. The good news that Jesus does save sinners, the vilest of sinners. That Jesus does come and heals the broken heart of your life to move in you and to bless you. To not only do that, but to set you free, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. This targets the captor, the enemy. This targets the sin. This targets the chains. The good news is for every part of your life. And that's what we proclaim, and that's what we live, and that's what we share, and that's what we speak. Every portion of your life. The anointing of God to come upon you in such a way, a permanent way, so that I'm able to proclaim, to speak, to be present. Verse 2, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. This is God's year for you, or the day of vengeance of our God, where God comes and destroys the head of the enemy and destroys the powers of darkness in your life and destroys the chains and breaks the yokes. It's the year of our God. The anointing of God to have the power and the anointing to comfort those who mourn targets our loss. And then to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, giving people the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. Why? So that they, along with us, will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Oaks of righteousness. But do you know what my favorite part of this passage is? I remember it. I remember it 21 years ago when we were adopting the Hani. I love it. It's verse 9. Then their offspring will be known among the nations, and their deceit, their descendants, in the midst of the peoples. And all who see them recognize them, because they are the offspring whom the Lord has blessed. Why does that thrill me? Because Cottonwood's sons and daughters are known in the nation called the Hani. They're known. Those of you who have gone as youth, as young adults, the offspring are known amongst the nations. And they are known because they brought the gospel. They brought the kingdom of God with them to these places where Christ was not known. And yet, in the morning, you'll get up and you'll go to school or you'll go to work and you'll go to places where he's not known. Oh, he's been heard of here in America, but he's not known. And you have the anointing of God upon you, if you are in Christ Jesus, to proclaim this freedom and this gospel to the afflicted, to proclaim this freedom to the captives, to proclaim the victory of God. Of whatever your platform is, as a businessman, as a businesswoman, as a teacher, as a homeschool mom, as a business owner, as an athlete, as a coach, as a farmer, a rancher, a plumber, retired, a cowboy, a cowgirl, a platform. To see the anointing of God upon us so that we can proclaim these things. And here's the beauty of it. We're proclaiming what already God has done in our lives. Would you bow with me in prayer? Number one, what has God said to you today? See, this is something that is so simple and so powerful that today you can give witness to the waitress or the waiter who waits on you at lunch. Sent to the restaurant today, not just to eat, but to give witness. We're not talking about putting a track under your plate or a track in her presence. I'm talking about just being Jesus, the anointing of God. And I think what happens, folks, is we just fail to believe that God would dare do that for us in a very bold and gracious way. But if you're in Christ, you have the anointing of Christ. Amen. He being the head of the body, and you being part of the body of Christ. When I think about the letter to the Romans, and he comes to the end and he says to the Roman church that Satan will soon be crushed under your feet. Wow. This co-laboring with our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring a salvation message where people actually get saved, a deliverance message where people actually get delivered, where people actually are healed. The anointing of God upon your life, where you become a part of kingdom business. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because He has anointed us, smeared us with His oil, so that we might be a people that truly comfort those who are afflicted. We give the garland of victory instead of the ashes of defeat. The mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. Oh my, oh church, do you see that you have a call to serve our great God and Savior the rest of your life? It's where you find the most meaning when you not receive it, but you're able to give it away. And I want to ask you, when's the last time you gave it away? Would the commitment be today just to say, God, I want to be a man, I want to be a woman today, that I'm making this commitment to be available to your word and to your voice to do whatever, whenever, however, in the kingdom of God. I hope that's your commitment today. Oh, Lord Jesus, we come before you. We thank you for this day. I believe in some ways historic. Of a church that's saying yes to the ends of the earth. And I pray for a people whose yes is on the altar. To imagine that we have a message that actually saves people, that actually gets them out of their depression, that actually, Lord, gets them to places of victory, that gets them to victory over sin and strongholds. For us, and for them. And oh God, just as the pastor here of Cottonwood Church and the leadership of elders and staff who stand before you today to say, God, our yes is on the altar today. Come, Lord, fill it. Come fill us. And I thank you for this kind of commitment today. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. I'm going to ask that Craig would take Juan's out. And newsletters out there. I hope that you'll come by, greet them, and just that maybe one day as you greet them here, one day in the next year, 2 years, you land and you see them at the airport picking you up, and you remember this day when you shook their hand and you hugged their neck. Let's stand together. Bless you. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you, Lord, be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and your family and your little ones and your big ones and all those kids in your home. And may God bless you with the absolute total peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go in peace. Fellowship with one another. Celebrate what God's doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.